What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Carson Anderson program. Doug will be back with us tomorrow. Gator and King and Kenny, we're taking your calls at 248-539-9797. Same number to Texas if you'd like to approach it that way. Be happy to take those. We're talking about the Lions, kind of post-mortem here. How do Lions fans feel about what happened on Saturday? You're in a better place today than you were on Saturday night, and what you expect to see from this team and moving forward, and you know, there's a lot of moves that are going to happen here. Now that they've lost Ben Johnson to the Bears, they've got to find an offensive coordinator. I'm imagining they're probably going to promote from within because they know those guys best. I don't know. Maybe Dan Campbell has another person he's eyeing for that job. Don't know. Aaron Glenn, you heard in the update, he's going to be interviewing with the Jets today. There's a report that the Jets don't want him to leave New York, that they want to secure this today. If he interviews well, they want to secure it because he's got an interview scheduled for what was scheduled for tomorrow with the Saints, but the Saints are pushing all their interviews back a little bit later in the week because of weather situations they have there. So it's an excellent opportunity for the Saints, or I should say for the Jets, to lock up Aaron Glenn. And if they do that, then what happens on the defensive side? A lot of questions going to be asked this week of Dan Campbell and filling spots on his coaching staff for sure. But there's also the players that have to be addressed. And we've talked about, you know, what do you blame more for the loss on Saturday night? King and I disagree slightly on this. I think we both see the merits of each other's argument here, but I put more of the blame on Jared Goff than I do on the defense. King puts it more on the defense because of the injuries they had. It was just too much to overcome. And I think both answers are right. I mean, it's unfortunate what happened all around there. It doesn't mean I've given up on Jared Goff. In fact, quite the contrary. I'll state it again. Jared Goff's the guy. He's the quarterback of this team, and he should be the quarterback of this team. This team can win with Jared Goff. This team needs to be healthy to win a Super Bowl, and they were not healthy enough to continue marching through the playoffs. It just caught up with him. And it wasn't that it caught up with him all of a sudden. It was another piece to the puzzle that left the game early in Amik Robertson. So now you're left with one starting corner in Terrion Arnold. That was it. And you didn't have guys like you thought you were going to have guys in depth like Emmanuel Mosley, who was never able to come back from injury. We didn't see Rakestraw come back, who was injured and then was trying to come back from the injury and looked like he was, and then he got sick, had some kind of illness that was showing up on the injury report. So he never really got his opportunity. We're seeing Kendall Vildor, who actually made a couple plays out there, and then others, guys you'd never heard of, are out there in the secondary. Melifonwu gets hurt in the second half. It just became too much. Everything collapsed on them, and it was a disaster. There were 42 points in the game scored in the second quarter. It's an NFL playoff
record.
That
was a wild one.
42 points in the second quarter. That's crazy. I remember watching a game in the early 90s with Barry Sanders, and the Lions are playing. I think it was a Monday night game against the Raiders, and it was a crazy start to the game where it was like 35-28 at halftime or something like that. Just nuts. That was at halftime. This is 42 points in one quarter.
That's crazy. And people want to, you know, rag on Ben Johnson today, and I get it. He's leaving. He's going to the Bears, and he didn't have maybe his best game Saturday night. But he's so creative. That pitch to Gibbs, or was it Monty? I'm sorry, to Monty, and then the shovel pass to St. Brown in the backfield when you have Tom Brady, okay, not just you or I sitting at home on our couch. When you have Tom Brady going, oh my God, I've never seen that before. That's amazing. I mean, you're pulling out stuff that people don't even imagine. Like, you think about it, but to actually do it in a game, and then they executed it perfectly. What a call. What an execution.
And somehow Tom Brady apparently was able to say that without mentioning Ben Johnson.
Like, how ridiculous is that?
Well, I mean, obviously, I think word came down, maybe keep it on the down low of your feelings for Ben Johnson.
Well, he's supposed to ignore that play, right?
Right? And he didn't ignore the play. He's like, well, that's a grab. I've never seen that. And he's like, anybody else seeing a play like that? Hey, who calls plays for this team?
Yeah, right.
Well, the guy's going to be coaching the Bears. Sorry, Tom. I wish he was going to Vegas. He's going to Chicago. Don't want to see him twice a year. I think he's going to change that offense around. I think the offense for the Bears is going to be a problem soon. I don't know if it'll be right away next year, but it's going to be a problem. But Ken, you asked me a question right before the break about Levi Onwuzurike. And I believe he just finished his fourth season. So I think he's a free agent at the end of the year here. I don't bring him back. Yes, we had discussions. We go back to early September, right before the season began. And Dan Campbell was talking about him. And was effusive in his praise for Levi Onwuzurike, leading us to believe, like, this is a guy. He's really turned into a guy. He's going to be that guy that they thought he was coming out of college and was going to be a force in the defensive line. Was that the beginning of the, oh, yeah, thing where he said, oh, yeah, he's a guy now. And I said, wait a minute, is this just coach speak? And we had the debate on the air, you, me, and Doug. And Doug was like, well, I'm buying into what he said, you know, because why do I not? So I'm gonna believe Dan Campbell. I'm like, well, I'm still not there yet. And I think you were with me kind of on that to start off. I'm not there yet. Let me see it. Okay. And then we saw a little bit in the preseason, a little bit in the first game. I'm like, still not there. And then as the season goes on, and now, you know, the bright light is shining on him because Hutchinson's out. You need somebody to step up. And I just didn't see it. So I'm not going to here to assassinate, you know, what was going on with him on the field. I'm just saying it was a disappointment based on the hype that was built up by the head coach going into the year. So now I think maybe we take a step back with taking everything that Dan Campbell has to say as the gospel, with understanding there's still coach speak in there.
Right? Yeah, and that's why I asked you, because it was Campbell a lot, of course, but teammates, I think Zeitler said this guy's like unblockable. He's the next guy to get the contract extension, yep. Right? And then. And we just couldn't, me and you couldn't fully buy in because we've never seen the guy play. So how could we, and we're not at practice, but
right.
How could we believe that it's going to translate onto the field? I honestly thought his career was over at one point because the injuries were just too much.
Now maybe he's grades out really well against the run, and that's probably the case. I won't disagree with that. But I need him as a pass rusher, and he's not. Nobody was on his team outside of Hutchinson.
And McNeil. I mean,
right, Ali McNeil's outstanding, and so it's hard to it's.
I mean, that was like actually the true death blow. I think they just couldn't withstand one more injury on that defensive front four that could beat a man one on one. At some point, you have to be able to beat your man one on one. And Hutch and McNeil were those two guys for this team. And when they lost both of them, and Yaron Glenn's got to dial blitz after blitz, and then you lose cover corners that play man to man like Carlton Davis and Amik Robertson, it just became. Too much.
Yeah,
all of this was too much.
And then
much.
Your depth gets not exposed because they had good depth, but then those depth guys got hurt.
Yeah,
and like I mentioned earlier, Rakestraw and Mosley, these are guys you're counting on to sub in or go in for and start a game or two if you have to, and those guys don't see the field.
And then speaking of another depth guy, how about a guy who rushes the quarterback on blitz, Derek Barnes, who actually became really good at it, and then he's gone. Malcolm Rodriguez is gone. We're down to like Trevor Nowoski.
Right.
You know, like.
And they didn't, they waived James Houston because he wasn't good enough.
At that point, I was like, where's James Houston?
Right, exactly. But, I mean, there's obviously a reason that I don't think Houston ever recovered from the broken leg. Ever. Because he just was never that same guy and just seemed lost out there. But look, they've got personnel questions they're going to have to answer for sure. And we'll see how they go about that. but they've got a great core. They've got money. They're going to have to extend some players too. You'll be happy to give extensions to. And then I'm at the point right now, I'm an F them picks guy, because the window is right now. You've got a couple years here with this team to go out and do something. It's probably more than a couple years, but I'm just saying, go out and make a massive move in the offseason where you say F them picks and just make it happen and trust that you can find other guys throughout the draft without having a first round pick, because you can and you have. Look what the Rams have done. You know, the Rams, they said F them picks all along. They did it again to acquire Stafford. They won a Super Bowl. They had a down year. And then they were able to recoup this year because of an outstanding draft class. They had Fisk and Jared Verse to that defense, and by the end of the season, those guys were playing at a high level. Lions can do that. I'm not worried about that with them finding draft picks. But I'm at the point right now, F them picks, get the impact player, go talk to the Raiders about Max Crosby. Talk to Cleveland about Myles Garrett, whoever it is. You know, I'm throwing out the biggest names out there, of course, but find and identify who that player is and go get him. Go get him. Impact defensive end, impact corner, whatever you got to do. Because that's the other, they got to make a decision on Carlton Davis, because he was only a one-year signing, or one-year, they traded him, and it was a one-year deal. So what's going on with him? Is that a guy that they think they can, you know, bank on? It's a broken jaw. It's not a hamstring or a knee. So hopefully he'd be good enough to go and be right back, because he was really good in supporting the run. He was a pretty good cover corner. I liked him. 248-539-9797, the telephone number. It's the same number to text. You want to get those texts, and we'll read some of those as well as we continue here on 97.1 The Ticket. All right, I feel like taking a shot at somebody right now real quick. It's a quick one, but I just saw it, and Kenga just talked about it during the break. So Dove Climate has put out this the chart that shows the four major sports and its team accomplishments in the last 10 seasons. So in the last 10 years, 29 of the 30 Major League Baseball teams have made the playoffs. 31 of the 32 NFL teams have made the playoffs. All 30 teams in the NBA have made the playoffs in the last 10 years, and 31 of the 32 teams in the NHL have made the playoffs. In the last 10 years, 8 Major League Baseball teams have won the World Series. 6 have won the Super Bowl. 7 different teams have won the NBA championship. And 8 different teams in the last 10 years have won the NHL championship, the Stanley Cup. The only teams not to make the playoffs in the last 10 years in any of those sports are the Angels, which is crazy to think that the Angels couldn't make the playoffs with Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani, and all the talent they've had there. The Buffalo Sabres haven't made it in the NHL. Well, it's a long rebuild that continues to be a long rebuild. The New York Jets are the only NFL team to not make the playoffs. And I love what you had to say after I told you that. In the last 10 years, the Jets are the only NFL team not to make the playoffs. And your beautiful response was...
2 of those years were Aaron Rodgers years.
Any excuse to rip on Aaron Rodgers. Yeah, anything.
You'll take it, right?
I'll take it. I'll take it. Aaron Rodgers. I love the Lions ended his career with the Packers on a losing note.
I mean, maybe his career in general.
Basically, you know what I mean? Yeah, like, right?
Then the next year he gets that injury, and then this past year was an epic fill.
Yep. Love it. Couldn't happen to a nicer guy. Anyway, just thought we'd dig that one in there a little bit, because it's fun to do that. We do have some text coming in at 248-539-9797. Same number to call us if you'd like to do that. Amik's injury was the last straw that broke Campbell's back. I like that. That's from Bruce in Farmington Hills. I agree with you. I think it was the defense is like, I mentioned earlier, kind of like a Jenga board. You keep pulling pieces out, and it's still there, but it's not as stable. Once you pull the Amik Robertson piece out, it all fell down. It was just too much. I look back now and I wonder if it was Aaron Glenn's defense or Sam Darnold just choked.
I think you have to think about that, because they were so bad versus Washington. You're like, what, is this the same defense that held the Vikings to 9 points? It can't be, right?
Well, except for, I mean, I think it's a combination. First of all, you guys know my feelings on Sam Darnold. I think he's terrible. And I think he had a heck of a season with the team until he can get exposed. And look, they lost to two teams all year long, the Lions and the Rams twice. But in that game, they had Amik Robertson. They put Amik Robertson on Justin Jefferson, and he got the job done. So the next game against Washington, you're putting him on Terry McLaurin, and he gets hurt in the second defensive play of the day for the Lions. I mean, it changes everything. And then you lose Melifonwu, and it changes everything again. So I think it's probably more Aaron Glenn's defense was a success against the Vikings as opposed to Darnold choking. I think Darnold made some bad decisions in that game. He held on the ball way too long, and he gets smoked for it.
So looking back at it now, and this is all, you know, in hindsight, I wanted the Commanders, and be careful what you ask for, because obviously they lost to the Commanders. But looking back at it, I actually wish they would have got the Vikings or Rams, and here's why. The one thing people kept saying about not wanting to play the Vikings or Rams again and saying it's hard to beat a team that many times, yeah. Right? The Vikings three times this year, the Rams will be three times in 12 months, right? But the Commanders, the one thing you do have when you play a team again is familiarity. Yep. You know that team. And by the way, those two quarterbacks aren't that mobile. So you've beaten them for a reason. You know how to play them. Now, when you go with the Commanders, number one, we know how the Lions are with mobile quarterbacks. And I know the whole league has trouble with mobile quarterbacks, but the Lions really have a problem with mobile quarterbacks. And number two is, I don't care what film shows you, when you see it live in person, it could be a lot worse. And I think Jaden Daniels was a lot better than they could have even imagined. Thinking a rookie is going to come in here, and he's not just any rookie. He was so poised. He was so calm. He was so precise. And when you see it on the field in action, you've never seen it before. These players are reacting to the first time playing Jaden Daniels, and I think it hurt this team. It was better if I think they would have played the Vikings or Rams.
Well, I mean, the Vikings were just embarrassed and exposed by the Lions and the Rams in their season. Had they played the Rams, if you're going to tell me Amik Robertson gets hurt on the second defensive play of the game for the Lions, then I'm going to say it's going to be a bad day at the office for the Lions, because you still have the same issues. You can't get home on a pass rush. Jaden Daniels' mobility isn't what kept him up on his feet. He had all day to throw. Can you imagine if they gave Stafford all day to throw to Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua? You know, they've got more weapons on that team offensively than what Jaden Daniels has to throw to. McLaurin's great, and Brown is turning into a really nice receiver too. But I'll take Nacua and Kupp over those two. And the running back is, you know, you want to say it's a wash, or Kyron Williams is better, whatever you want to do. I just think it would have been a disaster if you're going to say that the same injury happens, because Stafford would just pick him apart without Amik Robertson out there. But I understand what you're saying. Nonetheless, it worked out the way it did, and it sucked. Gator King, I was at the game. Still don't have a voice from yelling so much. I'm still mad about it, and I'm making it everyone's problem. Injuries got us, Scott and Carlton. It's a big part of it. I blame that lost fumble on Ben Johnson. He pulled a Pete Carroll. Just hand the damn ball off inside the five. Gibbs was going crazy. Mike from Warren. I know a lot of people have said this. But they've done this before, where they go empty with a third and one situation, and they've thrown the touchdown pass, and nobody cares because you're scoring. This is what you get. When you have an unpredictable offense, you do plays like this, and hey, you take the good, you take the bad. You take the both, and there you have the facts of life. The facts of life. It worked out more often than not. In that play, it didn't work out because, according to Goff, the receiver stumbled out of the gate. And it causes a chain reaction of bad things to happen. Because there goes the rhythm of the play, which is supposed to be just a quick hit. Would have gotten a first down, maybe gets a touchdown, and instead, it's not a quick hit, can't throw to him, got to hang on to it a second longer, and then he gets hit from the backside and fumbles and loses for the first time this season, loses the fumble.
I understand why people are upset about that play. I really do. But you're asking the Lions and Ben Johnson to do something they haven't done all year, which is be predictable and safe. They aren't predictable and safe. The predictable and safe play would have been just run the ball up the middle, yep, get the first down. No. Something happened that hasn't happened the entire year. You just mentioned it. Goff lost a fumble at the worst possible time. That was the game changer. That was the beginning of the end, because if they were able to convert that first down and score a touchdown, It's 14-3 Lions, and the defense has an 11-point cushion, and then Washington's playing from behind. And instead, they turned the ball over, and from that point on, the offense pressed. The defense couldn't keep up. Washington won the game.
Yeah, not good. Just not good all around. Dominic is in Commerce. Welcome to 97 with the Ticket. Hey, Dominic.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey.
I think the Lions lost as soon as Goff got hit on that interception, that pick six. Goff, after that pick, or after that hit he got, he didn't play the same at all.
Yeah, I wonder, I'd love to know from him, you know, what he was feeling after, because he left the game for a little bit. That's when they brought in Bridgewater for three plays, and then Jameson Williams runs for 61 yards and a touchdown, and, you know, Goff comes in the next series. You got to wonder how it affected him, because that was such a massive hit that he took, helmet to helmet. You know, he's not expecting to get hit like that, and he just gets lit up. I don't know if he was concussed or not. He said he wasn't. But I kind of agree with you. He didn't look the same after that. But I mean, if you're not, then maybe you let somebody know when you change things up. But the other interceptions he threw after that, it's not good. It's not a good look.
Yeah. I think that flustered him up. He's not used to getting hit at all, really, in a game. And that flustered him up, and that's the reason we lost.
All right, thanks, Dominic. I appreciate it. 248-539-9797. More of your calls as we continue here at 97.1, The Ticket. All right, welcome back to 97.1 The Ticket, Carson Anderson program. Taking your calls and texts, 248-539-9797. Some more texts coming in. Levi can go. He hasn't done anything of note to warrant keeping around, just a body at this point. Talking about Levi Enzarike, didn't really flash this year enough for me to say I definitely want to bring him back. But, you know, if the guy can be brought back at a decent cost, obviously he knows what the Lions are trying to do and the Lions trust him, then so be it. But I certainly wouldn't be, you know, opening up the checkbook and saying, yes, please, come here, sign. I have to blame Goff first. The fumble and his interceptions. Sorry, fellas, but now I see why the Rams wanted to get rid of him. Really? How'd you feel last year when they beat the Rams? How'd you feel last year when they beat Tampa Bay? How are you feeling this year when they went 15-2 in the regular season, including a last game win over Minnesota with everything on the line? He had a bad game on Saturday night. No question about it. But I ain't giving up on that guy.
I'm going to give people this week, Gator, to let all their emotions and the sizzling hot takes, you know, and all that stuff. Because people are in pain, so I get it. So I'm just going to give them this week. But if you think it's easy to win 15 games in this league and do what Jared Goff did consistently throughout the season, yes, he had a couple bad games, but consistently he was great this year, you're in for a rude awakening. Teams are looking for quarterbacks every single day. Ask the Jets how easy it is to get a quarterback. Ask, you know, so many other teams how easy it is to get a quarterback that can win you that many games.
They were 35-9 in their last 44 regular season games. 35-9.
That's so impressive.
And they've gone 2-2 in the playoffs.
And that sucks. You know, I mean, we want the ultimate goal.
Each loss is brutal.
Yes. But you don't throw them out the door because of this last game.
Might be too late. F them picks was needed the last 2 years. What, do you think the window is shut? The window ain't shut. Your quarterback is signed. You got your running backs are in tow. You've got your wide receiver in tow. You've got your offensive line is ready to go.
You got key defensive players coming back.
Yeah, you've got seven guys who were, you know, you were counting on are coming back. I don't see how this window is anywhere close to shutting on this team. I think it's wide open, at least for the next 2 or 3 years. It might be longer than that. You know, they've got some signings they have to do, some extensions they're going to have to offer up, and they will, and they'll still have money. They've been very smart about this whole thing. And doing it as the salary cap continues to go up and up and up and up, which is why the league's going to go to 18-game schedule.
I can't believe they're going to 18 games.
Who knew?
They never saw this coming.
No, Gator. Who saw it? I mean, then the commissioner says last week, oh, it's a logical step. No kidding, it was a logical step. Really? You like money, do you?
Like, it felt like they just thought of this.
Right.
Like, it's just logical, right?
Hey guys, I got an idea. What do you think of this? Based on how much money we're making hand over fist here with the league, what do you think if we went from 17-game regular season schedule to an 18-game regular season schedule? Think about how much more money we can make with an extra regular season game. Now, we'll cut back on a preseason game, but those don't really matter anyway. The glorified practices, right? Were we all on the same page here? Yeah? Okay. The players going to vote it in. You think they'll be cool with it? They'll get paid more money.
Yeah, we'll just give them raises.
Which is why injuries in the game are just so devastating. It's just it's survival of attrition is what it.
You know,
as
the players agree to this, which they will, they need to open up the active roster list. They need to put that in there. Like, hey, you guys want us to, you know, play another game? Then you need to, expand the rosters. Come on.
I'm with you on 100% on that. I don't know why you have this 53-man roster that drops to, 48 or 47, whatever it is on game day. I don't know why it's not a 53-man roster the whole time. Let them all be active. It doesn't make any sense to me. I go back to the phones, and Dion is next up here, 97 on the ticket. Hey, Dion.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
All right, man.
Good day. Hey, listen, Gator, this is my thing. After, Saturday night I was disappointed. Sunday morning, my reality kicked in. You know, ever since when we reached that injury list at 19, 20 players, from that minute on, my whole thing was, okay, we're going to go as far as we're going to go, but eventually we're going to run up against a team that has just as much power in their offense as we do. We don't have the defense. Aaron Glenn has done a wonderful job trying to piece this defense together game after game when we reached that, 19, 20, 21 injured on the injury reserve list. From that minute on, I realized that it was just a matter of time. We're going to run up against a team that has a hell of an offense and also somebody that we have not played at all this year. And that's what happened on Saturday night.
Yeah, I hear you, Dion, and hard to disagree with you on that, and thanks for the call. Washington is very good offensively. They were good enough defensively on Saturday night. They've got some playmakers on the defense, and Mikey Sainristel is absolutely a playmaker. You know, I'm no fan of where he matriculated from, but I've said from moment one that that's a guy I'd love to have on my football team. He's a hell of a player. Just seemed to make play after play at Michigan. Big play after big play. And it's what he's done in the NFL. He's made big plays, and he comes up with two huge interceptions in a game and, blows up the JMO play that Jamison Williams just should have not thrown the ball. If he's going to throw it, just throw it out of bounds. I prefer he just take off and run if it's not there. But he didn't. He decided to throw it, and Sainristel still made the play. And Jahmyr Gibbs couldn't get back in time to try to, knock the ball away. It's just, it was a cluster. And they couldn't overcome it. They just couldn't do it. And I don't know, is this a hole in Brad Holmes' game that he hasn't been able to find another pass rusher? Yeah, they drafted Hutch, but I mean, how could they not? They had a second overall pick in that draft. He was right there. I suppose he could have taken Thibodeau if he wanted to, but and maybe Thibodeau would have been just fine because he's a good pass rusher, but Aiden Hutchinson is special. Outside of that, they haven't been able to find that guy through free agency or through trade or in the draft. They don't have another defensive end.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, Brad Holmes has done an amazing job here. There's no doubt about that. But if you're going to start trying to, pick at holes and things like that, yeah, he hasn't found a pass rusher opposite Hutchinson. Does he at some point say F them picks, like the organization he came from, and just go out and get that stud rusher to go opposite Hutch? Or do you just try to find and draft and develop these guys? Because you and I believe the window has not closed, but also windows do get smaller at some point.
Yep.
And so I think it's fair to ask if the window's gotten a little bit smaller after this year. And do you go out and get, I'm not saying Max Crosby was available, but that type of player, go out there and say, you don't screw it, man. I owe it to this team. I owe it to Dan Campbell to get the best players possible right now to win right now.
Well, and the FM picks, it can come in the form of trying to get that established player like a Max Crosby right now, right? And that's going to cost probably a couple first-round picks and then some, right?
Cost a ton.
It would be a heavy price, but that's why you do that type of move, because he's that type of impact player. Now, let's not forget, he got hurt before the end of the season too, but that's a situation. The other way you do it with the FM picks is you move up in the draft to get that guy. If you identify who that player is, if you fall in love with Abdul Carter from Penn State, who unfortunately every mock draft has going like in the top five right now, but let's say that he hasn't been drafted. You know, he's lingering around 9 or 10 right now, and he hasn't been drafted yet. Would I be opposed if they went F them picks and moved up to get him? No, absolutely. Identify your guy, whether it's an established player right now, a player you see in free agency, then you don't have to F them picks. You just hand over cash. Or is it somebody you see in the draft that you have to get? Go get them, because they need to get another defensive end on this team, another pass rusher on this team beyond Aiden Hutchinson. Hutch is great. He might be the best in the game. He was doing outstanding this year.
Doesn't he still lead the team in sacks?
Right. I mean, even the play he breaks his leg on, he's making a tackle.
Yeah, he got the sack.
He got the sack. It breaks his leg. He's amazing. The amount of pressures that he gets, I mean, it forces, if he doesn't get home on those, fair enough, but he's forcing the quarterback to get rid of the ball before he wants to, which is a win. He's great. They need to find somebody that runs with him. You're not going to find somebody as good as him.
No.
I wouldn't think. But you got to find a running partner for him, because Marcus Davenport didn't cut it, and Za'Darius Smith wasn't getting it done either. Now, Smith has another year left. If the Lions want to hang on to him, he's here for another year. I'd like to see him here working with Aiden Hutchinson. I think that could be nice, but I still want more.
You can never have too many pass rushers. And
nope.
I don't think Max Crosby was ever available. I don't think Trey Hendrickson was ever available. But, I mean, those are the type of players that people wanted when you say F them picks, let's go for it. Because if something does happen to Hutch again or another pass rusher, you need backup. And the league now, is every team is trying to get bookend pass rushers. Not just one. They want two.
Or more. Keep adding more to it. 248-539-9797 is a telephone number. All right, so the Lions lose Ben Johnson. That's really the big story of today, is that it happened yesterday afternoon. I was at the auto show walking around, and my brother goes, look at this. I'm like, oh, come on.
He didn't say look at a car. He was saying look at his phone.
Yes, he was saying look at the phone. Yeah, although we were looking at cars, but yeah. But I was, come on, don't do this.
No.
Not the Bears.
Like, not the Bears.
We were going to lose them, but not to the Bears. That's the part that stings. It's to the Bears. It's in division. You have to face them twice a year. And I want to wish him well. I want him to do well. But no, now it's not. And now he's the enemy, right? And I hate him being the enemy. But it is what it is. So how do the Lions go about fixing this hole on their team? 248-539-9797. This is 97.1, The Ticket. It is cold outside, man. It is really cold, bitterly cold, like record-breaking low temperatures when it gets to the windshield, well below zero. All that is bad for your garage doors, man. You got springs and all these moving parts. They get brittle, they get cold, they can break, they make a lot of noise, and you've got to take care of them. Do what I did. Call Precision Garage Door today. If your garage door is making some weird noises, call them, have them over the house, let them tell you what to do to maintain those doors so you don't have the parts that are going to break, or so they can replace them before they break, or maybe you just need a new garage door altogether, they can help you out there. They've got a warehouse that's full of garage doors. In a lot of cases, they can give you a new garage door in 24 hours. They're awesome. I've had it at my house a couple of times, and we actually ended up replacing the garage doors. They walked me through the whole process, gave me a bunch of options. I could not have been happier. So if you need a new garage door, or maybe it's just some repairs, Precision is the place to call. Just call 1-800-DOOR-REPAIR or schedule at precisiondoormi.com.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how.
Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
So Ben Johnson leaves the fold. He takes a job to become the Bears' next head coach, leaving the Lions with a hole at offensive coordinator. We've been talking about this for weeks. We knew that this time was going to come. They're likely to lose Aaron Glenn as well. He's interviewing with the Jets again today. Reports are that the Jets really like him. They don't want him to leave New York to go for an interview with the Saints, who he's got an interview scheduled with later in the week. So we'll see if they lose both coordinators. I think they will. But they've definitely lost Ben Johnson. And we've been talking about this for a while. Actually, we've been talking about this for a couple of years, Kang. And the question comes around, are they going to be able to absorb the loss of Ben Johnson, and which coordinator would be worse to lose? I think it's worse to lose Aaron Glenn than it is Ben Johnson. I think it sucks to lose both. Let me put that out there. But I do think they can absorb it. With Ben Johnson, Ben Johnson was not the first offensive coordinator with his team. It was Anthony Lynn. Dan Campbell didn't like how things were going, made a change, and Ben Johnson didn't take over the offense. Dan Campbell took over the offense, and he brought Ben Johnson along for the ride. Now, I'm not going to say that Ben Johnson doesn't cook things up and call a great game and have these great plays to look at, because he does. But what I'm saying is maybe the mastermind is Dan Campbell, who's able to spot guys that can do that and impart some wisdom offensively of what needs to be done, taking advantage of skill sets from the players. So that's why I'm not terribly worried about losing Ben Johnson. I think that they have other guys in the pipeline that can help out, that can take that next step. Now, whether that's Tanner Eggstrand, who is the passing game coordinator, or it's Mark Brunell, the quarterback's coach, or whomever it is, I think they have in-house candidates for this. And then, of course, you've got the whole network of NFL coaches throughout the league and college coaches, which you may want to take a chance on. I'm not worried about that. I think Dan Campbell knows how to hire his staff. So that doesn't concern me too much. It bothers me that he went for the Bears job. That sucks. But that's not like, it's not demerit against Ben Johnson. It's just disappointing because I don't want to see the guy twice a year, because I'd like to root for him, but now I can't. Now I have absolutely no rooting interest in I hope he fails miserably now with the Bears.
Or maybe the offense is good and the defense just sucks. But yeah, it sucks that he went to the Bears. I thought, you know, I made this bold prediction that he was going to be the Vegas Raiders or he'd come back. And I think the Vegas Raiders made a strong push. But in the end, maybe the allure of working with a Caleb Williams right now was too much. And also, if these rumors are true, the money was too much. You know, I think Ben Johnson might have just set the new standard for first-time head coaches. as far as salary goes. Yeah, 13 million plus a year?
That's the report, that it's 13 million a year, which is a massive amount. That's more than you get for any college coach.
And for all the people that said that, why don't they just pay him more here? I don't think they're going to pay him 13 million a year to be the assistant coach or the offensive coordinator of the Lions.
And now that he gets 13 million, if the reports are true, if you're Ryan Day or Steve Sarkisian, you might be looking at the NFL. Because if a first-year coach is going to get that, what about a coach that's got a pedigree in college of being a champion? You know,
it would take a lot, I think, for them to leave
their
jobs.
Well, yeah, but the point is, I mean, if those guys are getting $10 million a year, if you increase your salary by 50% and get it up to 15 a year to coach in the NFL, you might just do that. Rather than having to deal with the headache of constantly re-recruiting players and everything going on with college, that's a whole other thing, and maybe we'll get to some. We should probably talk about the national championship game that was played last night. We'll get to that coming up at 12:35. But, you know, looking at the Lions right now and what they have to do, they've got to find somebody that's going to step up and be the next offensive coordinator. And I don't know who it's going to be. I'm guessing they promote from within, and I think they have a number of choices they can go with. And frankly, I'm hoping we're hearing that Hank Fraley is interviewing. He's the offensive line coach. He's interviewing with Seattle to be their offensive coordinator. I hope he doesn't go because I think he's done a great job of the offensive line. And when you see that they've been able to fill in depth with the guys in their drafting, with Mahogany and Sorsdahl to a degree, and then they've got Giovanni Manu, and all these guys are getting rave reviews from practice and how much they've grown from the beginning of the season to where they're at now. I don't want to lose Hank Fraley. I hope he sticks around. Is he an offensive coordinator candidate? I mean, he is for Seattle. Why wouldn't he be with the Lions?
Yeah, no. I mean, I said last week that I think, like, just with the players, with Brad Holmes and draft develop sign, I think they do the same thing with the coaching staff. They're looking for guys that they can just kind of move up the chain, promote if they do lose coordinators. Because welcome to big boy football. When you're successful, you're going to get poached. And I agree with you. I think Calvin Shepard's a guy to look for on the defensive end if Aaron Glenn does leave. And I think Tanner Engstrand is a guy to look at on the offensive side because the passing game coordinator, good relationship with Goff, the offense is really good. I think those are the two guys that I think that you should probably get used to hearing in the next couple days here that might be taken over. Hank Fraley, though, I'm glad you brought him up because did you watch the media scrum, the clean out the locker day, all that stuff? Frank Ragnow and Manu, they're two guys in the offensive line that just absolutely love Hank Fraley. And Ragnow even said, like, I can't imagine playing without him as my coach. Like, I want this guy back, like, almost at all costs. So they love that guy. Offensive line clearly has been one of the best in the league, and they can just kind of, keep plugging in guys. Like, for example, if Zeitler retires or leaves.
Is Mahogany a full-time guy?
Exactly. You know,
is, like, Sorsdahl a full-time offensive line? Or Giovanni Manu? Has he improved so much that he's going to get a shot when Glasgow hangs it up?
So I think he's an underrated coach to watch. I hope he does come back. But, I mean, if he gets an offensive coordinator position, gets promotion, gets more money. I mean, Fraley could be gone too. Who knows?
248-539-9797. Chris is next up here, 97.1 The Ticket. Hey, Chris.
Hey, I just want to preface this by saying I like Goff, and he's our quarterback, and all the idiots that wanted Hooker, he's not even good enough to be the backup other than the high school coach. You know, no Hooker. But my question to you two, do you guys, fork to your nose, is Goff the guy to get us through the playoffs? You keep saying regular season success. I keep thinking Philip Rivers, maybe.
I don't know. They had playoff success last year. They won two games in a playoffs last year for the first time in 30 years.
So Mike brought up a great – Mike Filani yesterday brought up a great point about look at his QBR ratings in the playoffs. He has multiple games where he's like 59.7. The Super Bowl was 57.9 QBR. I'm just saying, you can tell me that he is a killer in the playoffs. He is your quarterback to ride or die with in the playoffs.
Yeah. I think this team was killed by injuries on the defensive side of the ball, and I think Goff had a bad day to have. Hang on. And I think Goff had a bad day to have a bad day.
Yeah, a bad day to have. So, I'm sorry. So, everybody says maybe because he was concussed off the interception. Well, he wasn't cussed while he threw that interception.
Yeah, it was a bad pass.
It's playoff Goff.
Is it because he had his quarterback? Looks, you started off by saying he's your guy, but he's clearly not your guy.
He is the guy.
Because he's not your guy because you're saying because you're buying into all this other stuff, and now you're saying he's not. I mean, here's what he did in 2020. Why are you yelling? In 2020, he had played in two games of the Rams in the playoffs, had a quarterback rating of 100.7. Last year, in three playoff games of the Lions, he had a quarterback rating of 103.3.
What was his playoff rating against the 49ers?
Against the Niners? I'd have to look back and see it. Well, what? I can find it, I guess. Give me a second, and I'll get there. Was he the reason they lost to the Niners?
I'm just saying, he doesn't get any heat here. Any heat.
His quarterback rating was 88.8. No turnovers, had the touchdown, 273 yards passing.
So you honestly think that he's a playoff killer? I mean, Kang knows, like,
I do, but I'm asking you because you start off saying he's the guy, but clearly you don't think he is. Just admit that you don't think he's the guy.
I am not a Hendon Hooker guy.
It's not about Hendon Hooker. It's that you don't like Jared Goff. Just admit it.
I like him in the regular season, but you got to also, like, Lamar.
So you don't like him because you don't think he's a playoff guy, even though he's won two playoff games.
I love Lamar Jackson, but he's 3-5 in the playoffs. He's not a killer. He is not a playoff quarterback, and you can't tell me he is.
So Lamar Jackson is to blame for the two passes that Mark Andrews dropped.
Wait. No, but he also had a terrible.
Yeah, he had a terrible interception and he fumbled, and then they came back and he was the reason they were going to come back and potentially win that game. But look, again, if you don't like Jared Goff, that's fine. Then just admit that, but don't play both sides of it. You say he's a really good regular season quarterback. You don't think he's got the killer instinct enough for the NFL, for the playoffs? Fine. Then say that he's not the guy. I'm not going to, you can have your opinion. That's fine. I disagree with it because he has won playoff games with the Lions. He did win playoff games with the Rams. I know people want to rewrite history, but he actually did win games with the Rams, including the year that they traded him to here. But does he have that killer instinct? I think he does. I think he had a bad game on Saturday night, and it was awful. Actually, more than bad game. The three interceptions, three of the four he threw were terrible interceptions. I should say two of the three interceptions, because Jameson Williams had a terrible interception. And the fumble he had, it was the first fumble he'd lost all season long. But when he's leading the team down, was it a killer instinct on their second drive when he leads them down in six plays and scores? You know, the next drive, they're driving down with no issue at all. It's third and one, and then he gets sacked and fumbles the football. Look, it's, I don't know. You see what you want to see, I guess, and you're going to hear what you want to hear. Make up your mind and just be there. I'm with him. I think he's the guy. I think they can absolutely win with him as the quarterback in the playoffs. I think what they didn't have on Saturday, and Kang, this guy's making me go to your side where the biggest slice of blame is.
Hey, come on board, man. I welcome you.
A huge part of why they didn't win the game Saturday is because they gave up 38 points on defense. That's what happened. Why? Not because the defense is terrible, but because the defense was absolutely ravaged by injuries.
Here's the truth, Gator. Like, he's kind of entering Lamar Jackson territory as far as this. If he doesn't win the Super Bowl, they're going to call him a failure, okay?
All right, well, I'll tell
Jared Goff has won big games.
We're way late, so we're going to... I'll let you follow up on that because I do want to hear that. We'll continue here at 97.1 The Ticket.